Hello, writers. It's Laura Purdy Salas, and it is Monday, November 19th. I just got home from NCTE, the National Council of Teachers of English, annual conference last night. So I was in Houston from Wednesday through Sunday. And I've been sharing a ton of photos and kind of little updates of what my days were like in the Writing for Children Facebook group. So maybe you saw those there. And if not, then you could join the Facebook group if you're interested. But what I'm going to share today, instead of kind of a summary of my last week, because my last week has just been all about trying to get my laptop functional, which it's still not, and NCTE. So I thought what I would share with you instead are some of the kind of truths that I was reminded of and some that I learned fresh at NCTE. So this is a big annual conference with thousands of attendees. I've gone every year for the past few years. It rotates between major cities. And this was probably maybe my seventh or eighth time there. And I think some of these lessons will be true of other major conferences that you might go to. But I think some of them are also just good things to remember in our writing career. So a few specific things about a conference. If you're going to a big conference of any kind, whether it's ALA, ILA, NCTE, Book Expo America, whatever. A few things beforehand. I would say it is so important to build your online community for so many reasons. I mean, you don't build it so that you have people to talk to at a big conference. You build it for support and sharing and networking and sharing your journey with other people who are passionate about the same things. But if you are building your community and you have this online community, it makes these in-person, you know, in real life events so much not only easier, but so much more joyful and so much more productive, I think. So if you have that online community, you know, make sure you ask around before you ever go to the conference, like weeks beforehand. Hey, who else is going to this? Do you want to get together? What sessions are you going to? And, you know, start to build some shape into your attendance so that you have friends to look for, because that's awesome. Number two is know your goals. Sometimes in years past, I've had really specific goals, like I am tracking around the exhibit hall, looking for studying those vendor booths, so the publisher's booths, looking for markets that I think might be a good fit for particular manuscripts that I had already written. So that was one of my common sort of goals in many years. Another goal that has been common for me is to hear particular people speak or meet particular people who I only knew online. And it could be well-known educators or people who had connected with my work somehow. It could be friends from online. That's another great goal, is to meet people and to know like what you would like to maybe ask them, learn from them. Because in the whirlwind of these big conferences, you know, you get back home and you go, oh, I can't believe I sat there and had a Diet Coke with so-and-so and I never asked XYZ. So if you kind of spell these things out ahead of time, it doesn't mean all your goals will be met. But if you have some goals, you're a lot more likely to remember to do those things. As far as packing and being away from home, I say go as comfy as possible. And don't worry too much about fashion. I am, you know, not a fashion plate anyway. And this time, a couple weeks before going, I bought a couple new pairs of Skechers. They're both flat. They're both comfy for walking because you do miles of walking. And they were cute enough to wear with my very casual dresses. Now, if I were going to the Newbury Banquet, which is an amazing event, I would not wear Skecher flats. I would definitely dress up more than that. But, you know, for the daily thing of a big conference like this, comfort is key. I also brought like tea and hot cocoa from home so that using my little coffee pot in my hotel room, I could maintain some of my daily rituals. And number four that you might think about beforehand is gifts. Now, I am the worst gift giver in the world. And I'm also the person that shows up at what I thought was just kind of a, you know, potluck lunch between friends and discover that everyone else has brought a little hostess gift except me. So I don't generally think about these things. And gifts are certainly not required. But when I have spoken in certain sessions, there have been other poet friends who have had these little, just, you know, small but heartfelt little gifts to give to their co-presenters or to their poetry friends, whatever. And I thought that was so nice. So this year I did order some journals from Etsy, and, you know, they weren't super expensive. They just have like a stamped cover, so they weren't super handmade. But I attached a little, just a casual little post-it note with a note to each person. And I chose a quotation or whatever that made me, you know, reminded me of that person. And I felt really good handing them out. And for my two co-presenters in one session where I had actually asked them to participate as a personal favor to me, I got them personalized bookmarks, which I love, off Etsy. And I really enjoyed giving these little gifts out. I don't know that I'll do it every time, and sometimes it's as simple as, you know, a note card would be very simple. Or when I met up with Sylvia Vardell, who is awesome, and she's a teacher educator in Texas, she had these little gift bags with pecan logs, because I guess those are a big Texas thing. And so she was giving those out to various people, and she gave me one when we sat and chatted. It's just... being generous in some way makes you feel good, and it really helps you connect with people. So I was glad that I was barely organized enough to do that this year. So those are some of the things beforehand. Now, the rest of these things are just kind of general lessons or advice in no particular order. Besides the gifts, be thankful. Being thankful and expressing thanks to publishers who have you for a signing, to co-presenters who ask you to be on panels. I wish I had said in one of my sessions when I was speaking, I did not say, you know, thank you to my co-presenters, and I meant to. So I said thank you afterward, but I wish I had said it to the room at large. Thank the people who come to hear you speak. Thank the people who come to your book signing. Thank the publishers and the publicists who take time out to, you know, invite you to a dinner or breakfast or even just to stop by the booth. And not only say thank you then, but I think it's, you know, it's such a whirlwind at these conferences. So when you get back home, also say thank you with a little follow-up note in the mail or email. So I'm going to drop an email to several people I saw, especially editors who the email is going to say nothing about manuscripts we discussed or anything like that. It's just going to be, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your really hectic day to chat with me at the booth, you know, during NCTE. I hope you had a great conference. And it's that simple, but I think that's nice if you connect with them once the conference is over, then that's lovely. So I talked about, so this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So this is, I guess, the seventh thing. I talked about, you know, being as comfy as possible, both in clothing and in, maybe some of your comforts of home, but also, I think it's important to get out of your comfort zone. So when I agreed to do Build Your Stack, which was this new kind of presentation and I wasn't sure how it was going to go or how to do it or what was expected, that I was really nervous about. My sessions, my standard NCTE sessions, I was not nervous about. I know how to do those. I like to do those now. But the build your stack thing, you know, kind of scared me. But it turned out well, and I'm really glad I did it. And it got me out of my comfort zone, but it also let my publisher know that, hey, I'm up for it. However you want me to publicize and promote Snowman minus Cold equals Puddle, I am there and I will do the best job I can. Also going to drinks with a publisher. In fact, the same publisher, this was Charles Bridge for both of these. Charles Bridge had invited its authors who had signings at the Charles Bridge booth. They did drinks one night right after the booth, right after the exhibit hall closed. And so anybody who could make it, who didn't already have plans, showed up at the booth and we walked across the street. So there was one editor, one marketing person, and there were four of us authors. And one of the authors, Nancy Beauflood, I love her and I've met her several times and she's awesome. And the other three were people I knew of online, but I don't know well. People I knew online or had just met at the conference. And I didn't know if it would be awkward. I'm bad at small talk and stuff like that. Well, the six of us went to this crowded restaurant bar across the street from the convention center. And oh my gosh, we had a blast. It ended up being so fun. And I had to scoot out at 7 to go meet friends for dinner. And I was kind of sad to leave. That's how much fun I was having. So get out of your comfort zone and say yes to some things because you will either grow and learn things or you'll have a terrific time or both. An eighth truth is publishers do things differently. And this is true not only at the events, you know, but just in general, the way publishers work. And this was the first time I've been at NCTE or any conference with three books from three different publishers to share. And they all come out in spring. And so they do different events. Sometimes publishers put on, this is mostly the bigger publishers, put on fancy dinners where they invite bigwigs in the blogging world and in the teacher kind of professional network world. Other publishers don't do any of those. Some publishers just try to do something with their authors. So out of my three publishers, one publisher, all three hosted signings. Right? One publisher paid for me to do that Build Your Stack session. One publisher had drinks for its authors. Another publisher had the editor took three of us authors, three of her authors that she works with, out to breakfast one morning. And the other publisher did not do any kind of social events. Besides the signings, two of those publishers also sent me to the Children's Book Award luncheon as a table host, meaning they each provided 10 free copies of my book or an F&G folded and gathered of my book. So everybody at the table gets a free book. Publishers vary widely in what they do for their authors. And this is true, and, you know, it's sort of painful, but it makes sense. They vary what they do from author to author or from book to book as well. So I got to talk with other authors who are publishing it, you know, at the same time with the same publisher and discovered in some cases that, the publisher's doing more for my book than for this other person's book. And vice versa. So sometimes your book, as it becomes a book, you know, as the art comes in, as marketing gets on board, as the book is designed and turns into this physical creation, sometimes it evolves into something where marketing really gets behind it and they think, this is going to connect and we're going to get it in front of as many people as we can. And they do more for it. other times they think, we love this book, but it hasn't evolved into one of the kind of front runners that we see on the list. And so it will get, you know, just our standard support. So sometimes your book is one of those focused on books, and sometimes it's not. That's just life. The support that publishers give you, you know, I paid for my own way to NCTE. So my hotel, my airfare, Uber while I was there, because when it was dark, I would Uber to and from the convention center. I was about a mile away. During daytime, I would walk. Dinners, you know, food while I was there. All this stuff costs money. And I'm going to guess that before any publisher support, I'm going to guess that I spent probably close to $1,300, maybe give or take $100. I don't know. I haven't done the math yet. Out of that, my publishers did offer a little bit of support. So one publisher paid for my badge. You may not know this, but when you speak at these big conferences, you still have to register for the conference, which is several hundred dollars. But if a publisher sends you to speak or agrees to support you in your speaking, they might give you one of their badges. So I walked around the conference and my badge said Lerner Publishing, because they're the ones who gave me the badge. So that $1,300 figure I mentioned, that did not include registering for the conference, because I knew I had a badge. But had none of my publishers been willing to give me a badge, that would have been several hundred more dollars I would have had to pay, which stinks. So one publisher supported me with a badge. Another publisher supported me with $250 toward my expenses. So I sent them my airfare receipt, and they sent me $250, and that already happened. And the third publisher offered me $100 in support, and I need to gather $100 worth of receipts and send them a copy and ask for reimbursement for that. So again, publishers do things different ways. Another way they're different is in mood. The mood at the booth of the three publishers is just very different. And the way they work with publishers, with writers, how much they involve writers or don't involve writers, it's different with every publisher. And it's really good to just pay attention to that, because your writing career is about building relationships. It's building relationships with your readers, with your editors and publishers, and with your writing community. So, and if you write for really young kids, it's building relationships also with the people who will get your books to young readers. So for me, teachers are a huge part of my connecting with readers. They read it first, and then it gets to the kids. So it's just really good to pay attention to how your publishers work and what kind of tone they set for the relationship. Is it more formal? Is it more of an embracing kind of thing? Do they see you as partners, or do they just want to publish your book and then they go on to the next book? So it's nice to pay attention. And finally, publishers all sell in different ways. So that was really interesting to be at the booth, to hear how the marketing folks described both my books, but also their other books on their shelves. To hear how they described the books tells you a lot about their sales approach. And I learned ways to position my own books, you know, by the way that the marketing folks would describe my book to teachers. Oh, this will be awesome for your kids who have a great imagination, and they can use this as a mentor text for blah, blah, blah. And I think in those terms a lot already, but I think it's a very handy thing to pay attention to. Okay, last couple things here. So number 9 is, you have to have a thick skin. At the big conferences that I've been to, and there are one or two that I haven't been to, but I've been to ILA and ALA and NCTE, and this is true across the board. Some sessions will have a large turnout and some sessions will not. And it often seems totally arbitrary, like someone rolled the dice, and so many things can affect this. How far away you are, like if you're on the very outskirts of a convention center where it's like a mile hike to get to you, who else is speaking at the same time, what time of day you're scheduled at, all of these things affect it. And what hardly affects it at all is how good your presentation is, you know, what you have to offer. So I was part of a poetry presentation, and sometimes poetry events are not well attended. And we had a great turnout and it was awesome. I was at a nonfiction panel and we had a much smaller turnout, and it was disappointing because the information in both panels I thought was equally amazing, had great teachers and engaging authors speaking and illustrators. And you know, so I was sad that one didn't reach as many people as I would have loved it to. I will also say there are Newbery-winning authors who were speaking at the conference I was just at, and one session, someone who was there told me had 3 people in the room, and they had a Newbery-winning author on the panel. You know, so once you go to a few of them, it's fine to be disappointed, to wish you could reach more people. But what's not fine is to take it on board personally and say, oh, I must suck because nobody came to hear me. That is not true. So you have to have thick skin and separate what, you know, what causes that attendance or lack thereof. excuse me. And also at signings, that's another place thick skins come in handy, because, you know, some publishers sell books at their signing and some give it away. So 2 of my signings were for, one was a free book, one was a free F&G. So I had a line the whole time until books were gone, which feels really great, you know, for your ego. And you've got grateful people saying, oh, thank you, this looks beautiful, et cetera, et cetera. However, you do notice you end up signing a lot of books for grandchildren and children and nieces. Maybe not many of those are ever going to make it into the classroom or shared with other educators. And then at my signing that was for a paid book, people came by and bought it occasionally, but we did not sell out. You know, I didn't sign all that many. The people who came and bought it were totally engaged with it and thought it looked amazing. And so it was fewer books. It was a little more awkward to sit there, but those fewer books might end up having a bigger impact than the larger number that were given away free. So again, publishers do things different ways, and you have to have thick skin and just smile and do the best you can. Okay, I'm sorry this is so long, but we are now on to truth or advice number 10, which is have fun. try to, you know, just enjoy the common ground of being at a conference with lots of people where everybody values books and values the writing process and values reading. And so even if you're out of your comfort zone or you don't know anybody, you know, introduce yourself, try to make some new friends, go up and tell a speaker afterward if you loved what they had to say. Use the opportunity to, you know, to share books you love with other people. Find ways to have fun. Eat good food. Get some rest. Know what your limits are. Don't worry about what you can't do. There were events I wanted to do and gatherings I wanted to go to, but I knew I had reached my limit for being physically tired at the end of the day and also my ability to be extroverted. and so have fun, connect with people, and try to really enjoy and soak up as much of the experience as you can. All right, so those are my lessons from NCTE. Again, I apologize for this being so long, but I hope you all get the opportunity to do some of these big conferences and that you rock them. All right, I have got to get to work and start getting caught up on everything I've fallen behind on. Thanks for listening.